The new Congress is off and running in Washington, and it's our weekly look at what our legislators are up to with USA Today politics editor Paul Singer.
This is the legislature that will work with or against President Obama in his last 2 years as president. Republicans continue to hold the House, now hold the Senate as well, amounting to the largest Republican majority since just after World War II.
At the top of the docket for the new Congress are issues like the Keystone XL pipeline, which failed in the Senate at the end of the last session, as well as possible modifications to the Affordable Care Act.
Paul Singer joins us every week at this time. Paul, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, Rob. How are you?
I'm good. Well, Republicans kicked off the session. There's a little drama, maybe anticipation of rebellion in the vote for John Boehner to be in charge again. What ended up happening?
Well, yeah, it was a very tiny rebellion, but a rebellion nonetheless. There is a group of conservative members who believe that John Boehner has not been hardline enough with the Obama administration, particularly in trying to block Obama's use of executive authority for stuff like immigration. They decided they were not going to vote for John Boehner for Speaker, and if there was enough of them, they could have basically forced a second ballot, or it's not clear what they would have forced. They probably still would not be able to deny John Boehner the chair sooner or later. Now, in the end, there was about 25 of them, which is a pretty good number. It's about twice what it was 2 years ago when they tried a similar stunt. Still, John Boehner wins with 216 votes and is the Speaker of the House, and immediately began to punish some of those members who had voted against him. So, politics has its costs and its collateral damage, and this is that. It was interesting, but ultimately signified not much other than the fact that there are some people in the Republican caucus still unhappy with John Boehner and the sort of institutionalist Republicans.
Is this an indicator that there might be votes on issues where a similar group won't join with the Republican majority and Speaker Boehner would have to recruit Democrats to get something passed?
Yeah, that's a pretty good bet. I mean, that was a large part of the issue last Congress. That there were frequently, 40 or 50 Republicans who would bail out, and the Democrats would need, 20 or 30 Democrats to sign on to a bill to push it across the finish line. Would not surprise me if that is still the case. While the Republicans have expanded their majority in the House with the elections in November, some of the people they have added are at the most conservative edge of their caucus, and so will probably resist some of the same bills that essentially amount to compromise bills, even though the bills themselves are pretty conservative.
Turning to some of the legislation that Republicans want to get working on, yesterday two senators, actually Republican and a Democrat, I understand, introduced some Keystone XL pipeline authorization legislation. President Obama said, pass it and I'll veto it. So the first big controversy between the White House and the Republican Congress, maybe.
Yeah, I think it'll be the first showdown. This is a bill that, and it's kind of, politics is, again, a funny object. A year ago, well, sorry, not even a year ago, about 5 months ago, the Democrats were trying to push this bill all of a sudden because Mary Landrieu from Louisiana, a Democrat who was desperately trying to preserve her seat in the Senate, was pushing the bill because she knew it would be popular back home in Louisiana. They got it to a floor vote. The Democratic leader agreed to a floor vote. It lost. And so now we're back where we started. Now the Republicans are pushing the bill, and the Democrats are going to resist because President Obama has asked them not to pass this bill. He doesn't think it's a good idea for Congress to be just sort of authorizing these things without completing the permitting process with the reviews that he believes are appropriate. So, yeah, there will be some kind of a showdown. I think it's pretty clear they have enough votes in the Senate to pass this bill. I do not think it's clear they have enough votes to override a presidential veto, so we shall see. That will be exciting.
In the last 2 years, our big civics lesson, Paul, was what happens when one party controls one house, the other party controls the other. Are we going to have to brush off our veto knowledge over the next 2 years a lot?
You bet. That would be the anticipated outcome. This is interesting because, as we talked about, I think, before the election, you and I, the question was, well, what's going to change even if the Republicans win? It's still going to be gridlock in Washington. Maybe, but what happens is it changes the location of the debate. So the debate in the last Congress was between the Republican House and the Democratic Senate, and that's where a lot of stuff died. Now the debate moves from the Republican House to the Republican Senate, and then to the president's desk. And that's where you hit a Democratic agenda, and that's where you get the pushback, and that's where the battle lines are now going to be drawn.
There have been occasional noises, hey, maybe we can work together, work some things out, find common ground, blah, blah, blah. Any indications with this first week that that's going to happen?
No. I mean, there's going to be a couple of bills that I think they can work together on. They've said they want to work together on a trade agreement in the Pacific, a U.S.-Pacific trade agreement, which is something that actually alienates a bunch of Midwestern Democrats, but that the Republicans and the coastal Democrats are likely to support. That's something that Obama could get behind, and that Republicans would get behind. You could have some kind of a bipartisan agreement. There's a couple other things, little bits and pieces of things, but even while the Republicans would like to govern and prove that they can get to achievements with Obama, there's still not a whole lot of upside for any of them to say, I compromised with President Obama. We stood at a signing ceremony together and took a picture. That's not very helpful in most political contexts.
So another big issue right out of the gate, the Affordable Care Act. Already the House passed the first Affordable Care Act bill of the session, exempting veterans from the employer mandate, a unanimous vote in the House, both sides there. What does that do? Is it a big deal?
No. The big deal will be later on this week when the veterans one, I think, is pretty symbolic and pretty easy to pass. The bigger deal is going to be at the end of this week, I think, when they talk about changing the definition of a full-time work week for an employee covered by the mandate. And basically what this means is the way they wrote the bill, they defined a full-time employee who gets health care benefits as anybody working more than 30 hours. Republicans complained that 30-hour work week is not standard. 40-hour work week is standard. Democrats said, well, if we set the work week at 40, then all you got to do is put your employees on a 37-hour work week and none of them get health care. Republicans argue, in fact, the other way around, that by changing the law, they have changed the way that employees will get benefits and work hours, and that's not a good thing, and that you're encouraging people to drive down the hours. That will be a big dispute probably later on this week as they try to move back to a 40-hour work week, as they call it, and expect Democrats and the Obama administration to furiously object.
Supposing they manage to pass these things, there's still this or other changes to the Affordable Care Act. There's still the veto threat. Do Republicans have any leverage when it comes to, say, funding for parts of the Affordable Care Act?
Possibly, sure. I mean, they do control the spending bills. They'll come back up in September, obviously, when the federal fiscal year runs out. There will be opportunities for Republicans to either defund various chunks of the government that operate the Affordable Care Act. They've already gone after the IRS in the most recent spending bill, cutting its budget. The IRS, of course, is responsible for processing the subsidies under the Affordable Care Act. They could probably do more of this with the Department of Health and Human Services and say, well, you can't publish that rule. Those will be battles that they have, but all that stuff goes in legislation, which Obama can still veto. So it's just a question of how far they can push before they face a veto threat from the White House.
Now, yesterday, getting outside of Congress a bit, former Virginia Governor Bob McDonnell sentenced to 2 years in prison for corruption, planning to appeal, I think. Rare sight, though, to see politicians potentially doing actual prison time?
Pretty rare sight, not unheard of. In fact, his lawyers had suggested, what if we just do community service? That was pretty laughable. The two-year, he was facing charges that could have gotten him somewhere between 10 and 15 years in prison. So the 2 years is kind of a gift from the judge. That was pretty nice, pretty lenient. But it's rare to send a politician to prison, but it's not unheard of. And obviously, the prosecutors pursued this case because they wanted to make a symbol of him to make the point that, if you do the crime, you will do the time, even if you're the governor of Virginia.
And briefly, Paul, the big news story today, of course, the tragic shooting at a satirical publication in France. We heard Secretary of State John Kerry address this. What's the buzz? Is this the buzz in Washington today?
Yeah, this has been the buzz everywhere. I mean, obviously, the tragedy for those of us who are in journalism, it is a particularly, you know, close to home kind of issue. We're in the satire business frequently, and you know, freedom of speech is the thing we value more than anything else. So this definitely is, you know, a moment of some tragedy. Also, I mean, honestly, you have to. This newspaper had been targeted before for attacks. I guess it's not all that surprising, but doesn't make it any less tragic.
Paul, thanks as always for joining us today.
Thanks, Rob. Be well. Happy New Year.
To you too. We've been speaking with USA Today politics editor Paul Singer. He joins us each week at this time to share the scoop on what Congress is and isn't getting done.